Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever the numbers read on your clock at this specific moment in time that words roll off my tongue, flow over my lips, into the mic and through your speakers, penetrating your ear canals and stimulating your brain. Welcome to From the Mind of Mr. L. I'm the compassionate Dom, the sensual sadist, southern gent with a sprinkle of filth, your host, Mr. L. What's going on, everybody? Hope all is well with you all. I know it has been a while since I have talked through this microphone and you have listened through your speakers or headphones, whatever you got. But I am glad to be back here with you all. I have a very special episode lined up. But before we jump into that, as always, I got to do my check-in. How y'all doing? Hopefully y'all feeling well. Y'all been doing well, taking care of yourselves, loving on yourselves and loving on others. And this week has just been, it's been a cool week. I got to go on a nice little cruise last week, relaxed a little bit, slept a lot, ate a lot, but it was a good time. Had to take care of myself. So it's very important that you all do the same. All right. This thing called life is not getting easier for us. There's always some ups and downs, twists and turns. So make sure that you take care of yourself. Make sure you are well grounded. All right. So, boom, I want to go ahead and jump in this episode because I have been wanting to do this episode now, I think, for about 2 years. But I've always wanted to do it around a certain time and with a certain person because, well, y'all see the title of the episode. And by this time, I don't even think that our guest, he doesn't even know the title, but I think he's going to really rock with it once he does. But without further ado, today, our co-host will be none other than Val. Mr. Love Lessons by Val, to be exact. So Val, what's going on, man? I'm glad that you are here with us. How you feeling?
What's going on, man? Not much. I am, you know what? I'm feeling grateful for the fact that you even asked me to be on this. So I am very grateful. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like I said, me and Val, we talked earlier and I was just like, I was looking through everything and I was like, I could have swore I thought I did an episode with him already, because as you know, we are both a part of Three Guys and a Girl. You can check us out every other Wednesday on Instagram Live. I forgot. Do you remember our Instagram handle?
Three guys underscore a girl.
My boy, appreciate you. So you can go there, follow us with AJ the Badass Jones and Slim Stay Teaching. All right. So we are half of the Three Guys and a Girl. And Val, man, just tell the people a little bit about yourself, so those who haven't heard you before.
Gotcha. So for those that don't know, my name is Val. I am a dating and relationship advisor, dating and relationship coach, whichever one you want to use. What I aim to do is to help you guys cultivate the healthy dating and relationship lives that you all deserve. I run a page on Instagram titled Love Lessons by Val. How I go about what I do sessions. So singles, couples, understanding your dating scene, group sessions, whatever it is I do, and I'm able to assist you to get to the relationships that you guys want to be in. The only thing that I ask is that you come ready to do the work.
Ooh, that's it right there. And you have a few things going on, man. So I know that you do a couple Instagram lives outside of the one that we do with our Three Guys and a Girl. You have one that you do on Thursdays with your wife. So if you could talk about that a little bit. And I know you've been talking about getting back into podcasting and creating content. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So every Thursday, 7:30 for now. We might change the time. We'll see.
Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time, every Thursday, 7:30. Me and my wife go live. We call the live relationship tea with Val and T. So that's how we do. We talk about us, because a lot of people like to talk about us, ask us questions about us, how we're doing being married. They consider us a young married couple. I don't, but
how old are you, Val?
I'm 33.
33, okay.
33. And we got married, I hope she don't get to hear this part. So it was 2019 we got married. So we were 28. So we've been married for 4 years. About to be 5 years in September. So
hey, September what?
September 28th.
Love that, man. Love that.
28th. So check us out. You know, we play games. We talk about intimacy, not just sex. But we get a little deeper as well. It's a time. You get to see our true personalities and all that good stuff. So I hope that you come join us. Like Mr. L said, every other Wednesday, 8:30, three guys and a girl. Hope that you guys join us there as well.
And so I know you took a little hiatus from podcasting, but do you still have the episodes out there that people can, you know, go to and listen?
Absolutely. So I promise everybody, I'm going to get back to it. I promise. So all streaming platforms, you should be able to find it. The Intricacies of Dating and Relationships podcast.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all heard that. I know that there are a lot of popular topics, especially on social media, when it revolves around relationships, dating, marriage, feelings, all of these things. And one thing that I really love that you said is that, you know, you guys talk about intimacy. You know, it's much more than just sex. There's intimacy there. So I love the fact that you guys touch on that. Absolutely. And then you're in the Boston area, right?
Boston. So
this weekend, what date would that be? The 10th?
This Friday, February 9th.
Oh, it's on Friday. Gotcha. That's right. What do you got going on?
So we are running a speed dating event. So this is part two of that event. It's called Cuff It, part two. Intentional dating. So that's what it is. The organizer vets the individuals, men and women, who want to come so we can get the best quality person to be there. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about if they got, you know, kids or anything like that or whatever. Everything is up front. I know some people don't want to date people with kids, some people don't mind, but we do our best to make sure that everything is up front and that you have all this information so you can make a great assessment of if this is the type of person that you want to be with after you have your conversations, well, after you have your dates with them. So it's very well organized, I must say, and we are still looking for a couple of more gentlemen to be there. All the ladies are never an issue. I swear, the ladies are never an issue. The first event, there were more men than women. Shocking.
Wow. Okay.
Shocking. This event, there's only three more spots for men anyway. So if you're hearing this before then, you better grab your ticket now because I know it's going to get filled.
There we go. Go to Val's Instagram and check that out. So this is your third one that you guys are doing, right?
This is our third one.
Like, speed dating to me has always been interesting. It's something that I've wanted to do just for the fun of it, to talk to people and just to see, you know, who you meet. You never know. And so with this one that you guys do, all right, so I know you mentioned that, you know, you get information from people. So do they say, if I were to participate, you get my information and then I go to the event? And then what do you guys usually have? Just like a little sit down talk? Is like a mixer? Is it games that are being played? Like, how do you get people to interact with each other?
So the beginning of the event, each event, we have a panel discussion. We added this in because it seemed as if the first one that we did, they loved the panel discussion. So we kept that going. Mm-hmm. So we bring up different topics that we believe that individuals who are speed dating would like to talk about, or they're afraid to bring up themselves. You know, so we try to talk about it and just get it out there. The point of the panel is for individuals to learn, of course, and so we can have a dialogue and interact with the audience. But at the same time, it serves as an icebreaker of sorts, you know, trying to break everybody out of their shyness. You know, like, we got to let loose. You know, you got to be you know, while you're speaking. You can't come timid and all that stuff or whatever. If I see you timid, I will get you out of it. I promise you, I will get you out of it. Cause
you would get them out of the timidness, or get them out of the event.
Oh, the timidness. My
okay,
fault.
Okay.
No.
Man, you coming through kicking people out?
No. I will break you out of your timidness. I will break you out of your shyness. Because again, you came to this event and you paid for this event for a reason. You're here to be intentional. I want to help you put yourself in the best position possible. So I need to break you out of it so you can potentially have a date, potentially have a Valentine's Day, or at the very least, potentially make a connection with somebody that lasts.
That's dope, because you don't want to go there and waste your money or your time. You know, you go there and have a good time. Yeah. And so, all right. So once you go through this, you meet people, you talk to them, and afterwards, if you connect with them, then what is the process?
So I'm not sure what the organizer will do this time, but what I did last time was we have these sheets of paper, which you can rate, you know, from one to how many dates you go on, how you felt about the individual that you went on the date with, you know. Mm-hmm. I try to make it easy. It's no, maybe, yes, you know, just so you can have, and then it's a space for you to write in, like, what did you like about them? What you didn't like about them? You know, what are you questioning? You know, things of that nature, just so you can have it. Mm-hmm. So then as you're going through your dates, you're filling that in. At the end of the night, you choose your top three individuals that you felt you made the best connection with. The last round itself is called the free-for-all. So you can go to the individual you felt that you had the best connection with, you know, start that conversation again. You guys can exchange numbers, Instagram, whatever it is, to continue the conversation outside. But what we're going to do, we're going to collect all the data and we're going to send an email after the event matching everybody up with their top three. So there will be some, unfortunately, that may not have a match. Mm-hmm. And I like to say that in the beginning of the event, you know, I feel like people have these high expectations sometimes. I think that we should just go and not have no expectations at all, put our best foot forward, and see if there are any matches that come with us.
I really love that part. Because, like, and this is kind of, I didn't even put this in the notes and things we were talking about, but that just triggered this for me. It's just like, you know, I see a lot of people who, you know, when they talk about them being single, it's always the partner, the people they were with, or it's somebody else's fault, or like that person wasn't good, or this, whatever it is. But, you know, I know sometimes in my experience, like I have been, I'm not gonna say like a terrible partner, bad partner, like, you know, just things weren't working out or something. But I do know that there are some situations where people sometimes fail to realize, like, hey, maybe you just aren't as great of a person, either in a relationship, romantically, or whatever it may be. And so, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen for you right then. Maybe you need to do some soul searching or something. I know that might not be the case in this situation. Somebody just might not like somebody, but I do know that when it comes to relationships, that's something that has been on my mind a lot, is just some people really don't see themselves as being an issue sometimes.
It's true. But and it's funny because Mr. L, remember, we're not supposed to be saying these things. You know, we don't want to get canceled. We don't want to tell somebody that they're the problem. Come on. But no, on a serious tip, people are so afraid of self-reflection. Mm-hmm. You know, people are so quick to get defensive. Like, me, you think I'm the problem? Like, you don't even know what they did. Yeah, but if you come into my office and we're having a session, and the first thing that you want to say after I said, how was your, you know, tell me about your last relationship, you want to say, they were the problem, they did this, they did that, da-da-da-da. I'm stopping you right there. And I'm going to say, okay, what did you do to contribute to that? Mm-hmm. You know, what, if you can think of two things that you could have done better that could have made the relationship continue to flourish and things of that nature, what are those things? What could you have done? Because if we're going to continue to just focus on the other individual, and I'm sure everybody listening to this knows this already, you're not going to grow. There's no growth there. You're supposed to be growing. Right. Every relationship that you've been in, any dating situation, even the situationships that you've been in, you're supposed to be learning something about yourself. You can say you learned something about the other person just in case people spin the block. I know that's taboo, but sometimes spinning the block is probably the best thing that you can do because you dropped the ball.
Ooh.
And you're lucky if they're still there and willing to give you a chance.
I'm at the pause on that because I want to get into that later. Spinning the block. All right. So hold on. Hey, I tell you what. You know what? Come on. So there's something I like to do whenever I have someone on hosting with me as a guest, and just to kind of get you a little warmed up and get the people to know a little bit more about you. And that's just to ask a few questions. All right. I think I'm only going to ask like 4 or 5. And, you know, this is a kink-based podcast, but also we touch on a lot of different topics, like relationships, as we are in this episode. But, you know, we talk about mental health. We do talk about sex. We talk about, you know, life situations, because all these things actually do play into effect when it comes to like sex and kinks, which the podcast is based off of. So I do have a couple in there questions for you. You know, as we have heard, ladies, he is a married man, happily married at that. And she, as well as a few of our friends, are about that life if you try and come at him. So I suggest you die. All right. So Val, we're going to ask you just a few questions.
Let's go.
The first one I'm curious is, what got you into relationship counseling?
Ooh. Well, I know that it was a combination of seeing how my dad interacted with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
We all lived together until I was probably like 10, and then they separated. But what I love, and that what I can't forget, is the fact that even though that they were separated, he would always do the same things that he did when they were together. So he would come over sometimes and still like bring her dresses, you know, bring her clothes, be like, oh, I was just out and I was just thinking about you, you know, things of that nature. After they separated, he never had anybody else because he was always in love with my mom until he passed. So I thought that was dope. So seeing that mirrored at a young age with the going through school and the fact that individuals would always just want to talk to me like deep. You know, deep, deep conversations. And back then I was always just like, why is it me? Like, why are you talking to me? Like, sometimes I didn't even really know the individual, but they were just like, I heard you talking to somebody else about something and I really want to get your opinion on this. So that started to grow and grow until I got to college, undergrad. And that's when I was just like, nah, I'm called to do this. I'm called to give advice. I'm called to coach. Because that's pretty much all I did in my downtime before classes and things of that nature. Everybody wanted to ask me, hey, I'm going through this situation. What should I do? Oh, I'm talking to this girl, bro. Like, how should I approach her? How should I dress on my first date? You know, all these different things because they thought that I had it together.
Right.
I'm going to be straightforward. No, I did not. No, I did not. I feel like I'm learning every single day, especially when you're in undergrad, 18, 19 years old, going to college. But I do feel as if the advice that I would give individuals stuck with them and kept them coming back. So that's really what got me into wanting to start coaching and start doing it like as my profession.
Right.
You know? One thing I like about this too, just to add real quick, it doesn't feel like a job or anything like that. I feel like I'm just in my purpose. You know, it's something that's fun to me. It's, yes, of course, it's a challenge because everybody is different. Yeah. One size does not fit all. You know, everybody is special in that sense, you know. But it's never one, there's never one day where I'm just like, nah, I can't do this no more. I feel like I'm called to do this. Every single time I get a session, I'm like, yeah, I'm called to do this.
That's dope. That's dope. Walking in your purpose, that's always great. And it's great that you were able to acknowledge that because some of us, you know, we can be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and still trying to find, you know, our purpose to walk in. So that's dope that you're able to do it. And you're one, able to benefit from it financially, but two, also you're able to help people and reach out to people and to be able to, you know, to me, like life, we only got one life that we know of, you know, and while we're here on earth in this life, you know, the best thing that I think you can do is love someone or love people or, you know, whatever it is, because it helps to go through life a lot easier. So that's dope that you are playing a part in doing that. The second question, what is something kinky that you have come across that you have not tried that you have kind of thinking that, you know what, I'd be interested in doing this?
You know, so people that listen to Three Guys and a Girl, you know that I've I love cruises and I've had sex on a cruise and I thought that was dope. But I've never, and this might be on the lighter side, I'm not even gonna lie, but I've never had sex on a balcony or anything like that. I want to do something like that. There's so many things, especially within our conversations that we have, Mr. L, and I'm just like, I want to try this, I want to try this, I want to try this. I feel like there was one time we had discussed, it's gone. I'm not even going to remember it.
It's all good. If it comes back to you, I think the balcony joint. So like, believe it or not, I've never had sex on a balcony. Never. So, like I mentioned, I went on a cruise last week, and it was just beautiful looking over the water. The room that I had, it was one of like the interior rooms, so I didn't have a balcony or windows or anything, but a few of my friends did, and just walking out there and just seeing that, and I'm just like, wow. Like, one, I would just love to just chill out here and embrace it with someone, but then, man, I would love to have sex on there. Like, it, yes. A baby might get made that day. And I thought about it. I was like, yo, I want to get on this cruise and I want to make my guy Val proud. So I let Val down, but it's all good. If you could tell me one thing that has changed about you pre-marriage to post-marriage.
Wow. Okay. I feel as if pre-marriage, I was more focused on myself. You can even say probably a little selfish in the sense of starting my career, you know, trying to make money, things of that nature, have my family set so we're not struggling, things of that nature. But post, I know that I can say that I've always been an empathetic person, but I am even more an empathetic person now post-marriage. Because
she made you a little bit softer, Val.
She made me a little bit softer. She absolutely did. Not even gonna lie about that. And there was no like combating, because when we did our marriage counseling prior to getting married, and I recommend everybody do it that's thinking about getting married, please do it. Prior to getting married, when we did that, we were talking to the counselor, and she was telling me, "I can see how empathetic you are towards your wife." And I was like, yeah, because she asked me for it, number one. And if I can do it in my profession with everybody else, why can't I do it to the number one person I'm trying to spend the rest of my life with? That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know? So I feel as if it was a very easy transition. But I also feel as if it's been one of the most powerful things that I've done that made us get even closer.
That's, wow. That's deep. At least to me it is, because like, the fact that, one, you said that when you guys were talking to the counselor, it's just like, you know, once your wife asked for it, so you listened to her, you know. Yep. you saw what she needed, you heard her, and then you did it. But then too, like you said, in your profession, if you're able to do it with everybody else, then you should be able to do it with your wife. And it got me to thinking, and how me, you, and Slim, we've had a couple episodes together, and we've talked about, you know, God things, and about, you know, how vulnerable we can be with our boys, right? But then turn around and some men aren't as vulnerable with their woman, you know? And so, like, just imagine the deeper connection that you can have when these same things that you are given to other avenues around in your life that you are given to your partner. So that's dope. I love that. And another thing that you had said was like, you know, the, I guess, like the pre-marriage, like the responsibility, basically, like, you don't, I got to worry about myself. And that's how I am right now, being single. Like, I'm good with that, because right now my responsibility is to myself. Now, even in that, you know, I teach, so my responsibility goes to my job, it goes to my students and my coworkers, but then it also goes to my friends and my family. But at any moment, you know, I can just be like, hey, I can't exhaust that right now. True. And I feel like, you know, and that's why I'm okay and content with where I am, because I want to get to the point where I can be like, no, I welcome someone into my life, and hey, now I am also like, this person is, we're here, we're together. Like, I know we are two people on separate paths, but we're walking this thing together. I'm holding her hand going down her path while I'm going down mine, you know? And so it's just like, I know that responsibility thing. And I know once I get into a relationship, like you said, she made you softer. I know that I'm one, going to be softer as well, but like, two, the level of responsibility and awareness, like right now, I think it's pretty good where I'm at, but when I get into that, because it's a different mindset, and we're going to get into it because it's a question I have for you later on, but I think it's a different mindset, you know, once you're with somebody. It's kind of like, I don't have any kids right now, and but my brother does. He has three, and I we talk about it all the time, about being a father, and he's just like, yo, it's, you think one thing, but then once you actually have kids, it's a whole different ball game. Like, there's something within you that usually switches. Your thought process is different. The way you move is different. And I feel the same thing when it comes you know, to relationships. So thank you for being vulnerable and sharing those things. Another question, look, if you were a sex toy, what would you be?
If I was a sex toy, I feel like I'd be the number one selling vibrator. Yep.
The number one selling vibrator.
I will surpass the rose. I will surpass all that other stuff that's out there. I will be the number one selling vibrator.
Why is that?
I like to please. Honestly. I like to please. At times, I like to please way more than I receive. I just like to see the satisfaction on my wife's face. So I would be the number one selling vibrator.
I like that. That's what's up. And then I would assume like it pleases you to see your wife happy, right? To see her 100%. Pleased. So like inside and outside of the bedroom.
Yep.
Dope. Last question. What's your favorite food?
I'm just going to sound like a foodie, like the fattest foodie ever.
Let's go. Hey, man, it's okay. It's all good.
I am a sucker for chicken Alfredo. I love it when my wife makes it. Like, oh, my God. She just threw down some spaghetti, some ground beef. I know it's a specific dish. I forgot the name that it's called, but that's what's in it, and yeah. I love it. Salmon is number one thing. You know, anybody can get me with a well-cooked salmon. That's it. And, guilty pleasure, I guess it would have to be steak and cheese sub with steak bacon and cooked onions.
I want to travel up north just to have, you know, a legit, like, cheesesteak, whether it's from Philly or what. I just want to experience it. But hey, man, I respect the fact that you said, you know, your wife's Alfredo or whatever it is she makes, because the only correct answer is, you know, to that question is whatever my wife cooks, you know, that is your favorite. That's your favorite dish.
You got it.
but all right, you know what? Let's go ahead and we talked a decent amount. Let's go ahead and dive into this episode and some of our topics for today. So I got a few topics and questions that I want to ask and just pick your brain about. And so the first one is, from your point of view, you know, someone who does this professionally and talk to people who are single in a relationship, whatever it may be, how is the dating pool looking?
It is still contaminated, man.
I'm be honest, man. I was hoping for a little, like, you know, I had a little bit of hope that it was a little more cleaned up. I thought you were gonna get on and be like, you know what? It's not as bad as some people make it seem.
See, and you know what? Okay. I can say that and at the same time say that it's still contaminated. It's as if, you know, we're slowly taking the contamination out of the dating pool. You know. So, but at the same time, I do think that it is not as bad as people may seem. Judging by the individuals that come to my sessions and judging by the individuals that come to the speed dating events and things of that nature, I see the potential of good men, good women. Mm-hmm. I absolutely see it. Now, when it comes to actually trying to get down to it and get, you know, deep and get vulnerable and not be so superficial, that's where the contamination mostly is, surface level. You know, when people can't get past, so for example, you know, you go to a speed dating event or you go first date and you have this individual and they're not wearing what you felt as if they should wear on a first date, you automatically eliminate them.
Wow.
You didn't even try to give them a chance to have conversation with you. They could have been the deepest inspirational person that you've ever met. You're judging because they was wearing something that you thought that they should not wear on the first date.
Is that something that you've come across? Like
100%.
Not giving away anybody's business, but like, can you tell us some of those clothing items or things that people have worn that people have told you and just like, yo, man, listen, Val, she or he, they, whatever, wore this while we were going out. And I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
So Tim's, for one, there was a male that was wearing Tim's at a speed dating event. I'll give him some credit and say that they were crispy. You know, they were really nice.
The butters were nice. At least they were clean. They were smooth.
They were clean.
It looked like they were still fresh out the box.
Fresh out the box. No scuffs, no nothing. But no, she absolutely did not want to deal with him because she could not get over the Tims.
Wow.
Couldn't get over the Tims. The first speed dating that I ever did, there was a gentleman that came in sweats. Now, I talked to this individual prior to the event, and I said, please do your best to not wear sweats. Please do your best to not wear sweats. Now, you know, they were like designer sweats and all this stuff or whatever. Okay. Yeah. All right. But still, some people cannot help but judge. Mm. They can't. They can't get past it, or they have not done enough work to be able to get past it. Right. No, I don't think that sweats should be the attire to come to a speed dating or a first date event, depending on the place, you know. But again, if this is like an upscale event, you know, we're asking you to dress up and things of that nature, mm-hmm. I think you should, you know, dress up, put your best foot forward in that sense, you know. But the fact that people do get eliminated so fast based solely on that, I think is a problem.
So you don't think that it is a telling sign of like the person's personality or who they may be based off what they were? Because like maybe it might be a tiny little red flag within me. But like if I know that I'm taking you out to a nice dinner, you know, or something like that on a first date, and you show up in, you know, sweats, like to me, that's not going to be a huge deal. Now, if it's like some booty shorts, your butt hanging all out, you're entitled to wear what you want to. The good book, the Bible says, come as you are. But like I would expect for you to know, like, okay, we're going out to eat, let me throw on a nice dress, you know, some heels or something like that. And the fact that you told bruh like, hey man, like basically you told him don't wear sweats, and then he still showed up and wore sweats, like to me that's telling, like, okay, you either don't follow instructions well, aren't disciplined enough, or you just don't care that much, you know. Like there's some things there that It's some red flags just because you're wearing sweats. Now, the butters.
I'm going to throw in one more, though. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw in one. And I don't know if anybody else would expect this, but only because I knew this gentleman and we've had multiple sessions.
Yeah.
We were talking about coming comfortable, as in within himself, not clothes or anything of that nature. You know, being as comfortable as possible and things of that nature. When I spoke to him after the event, he said, I understood exactly what you said. You know, you wanted me to come comfortable, and I know you did not mean the sweats because you specifically told me not to wear the sweats. But the thing was, if I wore anything else, I would not feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come as myself as best as possible, but try to stand out with my conversation, you know, with my intellect, showing empathy, you know, showing interest in the person that I'm dating.
Right.
And I was just like, huh. You got me on that because I didn't take the time to consider that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? You have a great point. You really do. You should have told me that prior so we can prepare better. You know, maybe we could have found something that you would have felt more comfortable in if you didn't want to wear a suit or anything like that. Not saying that you have to wear a suit, but, you know, just something nice, you know, something presentable, you know. Right. But I could not fault him.
Even then, in like the vetting process, you know, if you would have known that for sure he was going to be wearing sweats, you know, man, there was a young lady in there who was just like, hey, I'm comfortable wearing, you know, leggings and a t-shirt or something like that. And he could have been like, wow, match made in heaven. There we go. They could have had matching Nike sweatsuits or something on. Who knows? There's somebody out there for everybody. That's my firm belief. Sometimes there's more than one person out there for everybody. And so, you know, the fact that he did come as you are, you never know until you come to yourself comfortably. So I definitely respect that, you know. Yeah. You know, me, I probably wouldn't have worn that, but my man did what he had to do for himself. Yeah, so, okay, all right, that's not bad. And I know like a lot of people sometimes talk about, especially like for women who wear like lingerie out and things like that, to like first dates or you know, things of that nature. But like to me, like the things that people wear out, you know, you could either look at it one way in a negative way, like you said, people are quick to do, but I can always find something, a conversation. It's a conversation starter to me. If something, even for myself, if there's something that happens, I could be dressed nice in a suit, going out to eat, meeting a shorty, and somehow it rips or something rips. And, you know, now if she looks at me and is just like, oh, he pulled up in a rip suit, I'm done. Nah, cool. But to me, there's a great story followed behind this rip suit. That's up to you if you want to find, if you want to, you know, find out about it or not. But then going back to the young man with the sweats on, I do, just like food, I believe you eat with your eyes first. You know, yes. So although, like, yes, you can have a great personality, some people, they'll see something and they're just like, that doesn't look tasteful to me. And so they won't even venture out to try that out.
True.
So, all right, the dating pool is still contaminated. What would it take to, I guess, clean that up? Like, what chlorine or supplies are needed to clean up this dating pool out here?
I think every single person, men and women, and I want to specify that because women think men are the problem. Men think women are the problem. Both of us are the problem, okay? Both of you are the damn problem. Mm-hmm. What I believe would be the number one thing that can begin the cleanup process is intentionality. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. Coming and being actually intentional about being in a relationship, if that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. If you just want to go around and you just want to connect with people so you could potentially fuck later, then yes, that is fine. That is your prerogative. But what you need to do is let that person know. That's it. So if they're on the same tip as you, great. You made your match in that sense. Now, I don't come from that world. You know, I am trying to get people into these great relationships, great marriages that last. That's what I'm doing. So I want people to come with that intention in mind, going past the superficial, what's on the surface. Oh, he has dreads. I don't like him. I don't like him at all. He's gone. You know, oh, I don't like that dress on her. It's a little bit too showy. She's out. Mm-hmm. You know, things of that nature. I need people to dive deeper. So with intentionality, you're going to dive deeper and get past all the superficial shit. And you're going to start understanding or trying your absolute best to understand the what's under the surface, asking those specific questions of getting to know somebody, mm-hmm. as opposed to just, again, looking at their style. Oh, I don't like his style. I don't like her style. All that stuff, whatever.
Right.
Ask them, do they come from a two-parent household? Ask them, how was it coming up in a two-parent household? If they didn't have both parents, what happened? You know, things of that nature. You can ask them, what do their friends think about them? Like, if I was to go to your friend, what would be the first thing your friend would say about you? So mm-hmm. you could learn more about the individual. You know, coming and being intentional when it comes to dating, when it comes to relationships, I feel would legit start to clean up this mess of a dating pool.
I love that, man. I love that. I appreciate it. I can't wait for the book to drop. I'm going ahead and claiming it. Y'all heard it here first. Val's going to write a book on this thing because I feel like you have great questions for people to ask themselves, but also to ask other people, you know, because there are a lot of times when, especially first dates, you can be nervous a little bit, you know. I don't know if people still get butterflies and things. I know there have been times I have, but like, you can be nervous. You might not know what to ask. I'm not saying, you know, a whole Think Like a Man book or something like that, but you know, just some things, because people sometimes don't know how to have good conversation. You know, I know that a lot of, especially women, get turned off really quick by men because men will be quick to make a conversation sexual. And they've only known them for a short period of time. And then vice versa. Sometimes men are quick to be turned off by certain things women do because they will make the conversation about money, you know. And like you said, everybody's trash, basically, men and women. You know, the contamination is coming from everybody. They's and thems, y'all are not excluded. Y'all some trash, too. And all everybody else. If you're living, breathing, walking, and you are, it's everybody, however you identify as, we all trash, in a sense. But the intentionality, definitely, like, I know it's one thing for myself, again, single black male. Like, I know that right now I am not looking to jump into a relationship. And so I let people know that straight up, like, hey, listen, I know I have some things I'm working on for me and myself, and I have to get that right before, you know, I even begin to welcome somebody in. And I know, you know, they're like, to me, there are levels to it. There are certain levels of things where I'm just like, okay, with this, I wouldn't want to welcome somebody in. But then there are some things that are on other levels where I'm just like, okay, I can work on this with, you know, and still have a partner or be out there dating and things. So,
and I promise you too, the fact that you're being intentional about doing the work on yourself and all that stuff, the right person, when they come, or they might even be there, you don't even know it, but whichever it is, they're going to appreciate it. And if they don't see the levels that you went to, so you can present the you in front of them now, that's not it. But the one that is it, they'll know. and don't make you feel it.
I appreciate that, because that's something that I wanted to talk to you about. Is just like kind of like healthy relationships, you know. Like, to you, what is the equation to a healthy relationship, a long lasting relationship? But also, what does it feel like? Because there are sometimes I know, either for myself or just in talks with other people, they're just like, how will I know? You know. Or what does that feel like? Maybe some people have not been in a healthy and loving relationship, or it's just like they don't know what to expect, what to look for, how to feel. And I know that, you know, we aren't in other people's bodies, so we can't feel their hearts. We can't feel their souls. So what would you tell people who are looking for the signs that, oh, this relationship is healthy, it's loving, like this is what it's supposed to feel like? Because again, some people haven't experienced that, and so they don't know what to feel. So even when they feel it, they're just like, they might still have walls built up because of previous things.
True. So I'd say, and it's going to sound very weird to some people, but others don't know exactly what I'm saying. I think you'll know that you're in a healthy relationship when things get boring. What? Yes, when things get boring. There are people out there that they feel as if the relationship is boring because there's no fighting. There's no arguments, you know, things of that nature, whatever. I tell those individuals that you're just used to toxic relationships. You know, when you guys are arguing, all that stuff, whatever, that's when you feel like it's the highest and all that stuff, whatever. You get a high from it. You need that. But when things are normal, when things are quote unquote boring, you know, I personally feel like that's when things are the healthiest, because there's none of that. Mm-hmm. There's you going out with each other. There's you loving on each other. There's you making plans with each other to go on vacations and things of that nature, which, of course, those are fun, you know. But more importantly, after all of that or whatever, you'll know that you're in a healthy relationship when you truly, truly, and I really mean this, for the majority of the time, you feel at peace. You feel at peace. You feel as if you can be yourself. You know, if you're an individual, you know, for example, you know, you take a shower, and after the shower, you, for some reason, everybody does whatever they do when they get out the shower, you put your clothes on the floor, you know, and then you come back to pick them up later and put them in the laundry, whatever, whatever. You know, you have an individual that's just like, oh, he did it again, or oh, she did it again, you know, and they'll either make fun of you for it, you know, y'all have a kiki laugh about it, you know, or she's just like, or he or she, will just be like, oh, well, clothes on the floor again. Let me just go put these away, call it a day. You know, either or, you know, or other examples or whatever. It doesn't turn into a, you left your clothes on the floor again, what the fuck? No, you know, there's none of that. There's a lot of playfulness, you know, which adds to just being yourself. You know, I started to discuss with individuals what married life feels like sometimes. And when I was discussing it, this individual was just like, that sounds boring. And my retort was, you believe it's boring because there's not a lot of fighting. And, you know, we went back and forth with it for a little bit. And I was just like, every single thing that you just mentioned to me, because it was more about arguments and all these things and whatever, whatever. I was just like, everything that you just explained to me are things that can destroy a relationship. Legit. You know, everything that I just said to you were things that seem normal to you, but they don't excite you. And that's where I'm just like, that's the difference with a lot of people. They think these relationships are supposed to be like these celebrity relationships. Trips every day, you know, water skiing and all that stuff or whatever. No, unless that's your budget, if you're up there, you do you, okay? But I'm talking about us regular people down here. You know, those are what I would think legit constitute a very healthy relationship, you know, bundled in with empathy, intentionality still, because even though you get the person that you want, you still have to be intentional. You still have to date them. You still have to do all the things that you did that you did to get them. You know? Because if you stop, like, what's going to happen? You know, things will go downhill. That was a long answer, but that's what I was thinking.
That was great, because I'm not going to lie, like, you caught me off guard. I did not know where you were going when you said boring, like when it seems boring, because I was not expecting that. You know, I thought it was going, you know, oh, well, you're okay with compromising when this doesn't affect you. Or like, I didn't know boring was going to be the thing that came out your mouth, but it made so much sense. At least to me, it did. And I hope to those of y'all that are listening, y'all caught that. And it reminds me of like myself. Like, I like to talk, you know, I'm a very sociable person for the most part. And I remember like times where I've dated or been with, you know, women, there would be moments where it's like quiet,
yes, you know.
And I've realized as I've gotten older and more mature, like, that quietness doesn't mean that, oh, they don't want to be with you, or they don't, you know, they enjoy you in their space when there's nothing to talk about, nothing to do, or they just even don't want to. Maybe they just want to exist around you. And that's, you know, when you talk about that boring thing, it's just like, all right, we're not arguing. You ain't bickering about nothing. You ain't looked at me sideways about nothing. Are you, we good? You know? So that I love that. I love that. And I appreciate that. So going on, we went and we talked a little bit about, I asked you the question, excuse me, about, you know, how you were like pre-married versus now post-marriage. And so there's a saying where it's single me versus relationship me. Do you believe that those are two different things? Like, is that true? Can somebody be like, oh, well, this is, when I'm single, I'm this way, but when I'm relationship, it's completely different?
Absolutely. 100%. I do. Because, for example, if you're an individual that loves to go to the strip club, when you're in a relationship, more than likely you're going to be with somebody that does not want you to go to the strip club. So that's something that you have to adjust. And I'm going to continue using the word adjust, because it seems like change is a trigger word for some people. People think when they hear change, it's like, you want me to change me? You don't accept me for me and all this stuff or whatever. And it's just like, you're inviting a whole person into your life. You don't think that you need to adjust a couple of things? Yes, you have to. So yeah, single you. You know, maybe you're not keeping up with yourself as much, you know, less haircuts, less hairdos, you know, not doing your nails as much, but you really want to. It's just you feel like there's no reason, you know, things of that nature. When you're in a relationship, those things change. You know, and yes, that's very superficial, but for some people it changes, you know. Yeah. Can't be disheveled most of the time when you're in a relationship, you know, especially if you guys are going out, you guys are going on dates and things of that nature, you know. Perfect example. I'll throw myself out there too, you know, again, not being as empathetic, you know. Now you're in your relationship, you must be empathetic. Being empathetic is one of the main things that will keep your relationship going. You know,
can I pause you right there? So when you say empathetic, can you elaborate a little bit more for those listening who might not
be when I say empathetic,
familiar with being,
I'm talking about when you're single, for example, but let's say you're single, but you were talking to the individual that you end up being in a relationship with. You may not be as empathetic. You know, you're not with them. You guys are probably still friends or just acquaintances, whatever it is. So you may not put enough energy behind that conversation that you guys are having. When you're in a relationship, that empathy looks totally different. That's you actively listening to what's being said. You know, you're not listening to respond as you might have done prior. You're actually listening to understand what's being said. You're letting it marinate. And you're formulating a response based off of what was said to you, not based off of how you felt about what was said. Actually responding to what was said, you know, handling conversations much differently. You know, a lot of people, when they're having disagreements with somebody, for example, they like to, you know, they say, one person A says, you know, oh, you did this to me and this hurt. Person B automatically goes, oh, well, you did this and this hurt too. You know, the going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. When you're in a relationship, that starts to look different. You're finally, well, hopefully you're finally letting the person A say what they need to say. You do what you need to do to fix it, you know, as barring any, you know, SA things, anything like that, DA things, anything like that, barring all of that stuff. But, you know, you do your best to fix the situation. Then, once they feel as if the conversation is done and finished on their side, you can introduce how you felt about things and if you feel as if you need a an apology and things of that nature. So that's what I mean by empathy. There's a lot there.
Yeah, and like, because you kept bringing up that, and when you were just talking about, like, adjusting, you know, or changing, mm-hmm. you know, that single me versus relationship me, I think about that empathy is because, like, one thing that we talk about all the time when we speak on relationship subjects, especially on three guys and a girl, is, to me, it's like compromise. There's a lot of compromise that should happen in a relationship. Like you said, nobody's asking you to, like, change, you know, who you are, but sometimes you may have to move a certain way, just like speaking about having kids. My brother was just like, you know, you have to move a different way. And so if you, depending on who your partner is, you may have to move different ways or adjust or change things. And that goes back to empathy. And that's for everybody, is because once you're able to just, like, listen to a person, hear them and feel and share their feelings, especially if you care about them, you know, then it would make you want to adjust, especially like if it's something that you know that you can, you know, then you should want to adjust for your partner. You know, their compromise comes in. We're like, okay, well, cool. I know that I really don't feel like getting up this morning, but that's my baby over there. I'm going to do it for her. I'm going to go do this, you know. So I love the fact that you keep bringing up that empathy, because there's a lot that comes with that when it comes to relationships. Ooh, my bad, because I know I cut you off in the middle of that to talk about empathy. No, I forgot where you were rolling with that. But we're going to keep moving along and spinning the block. All right. So you mentioned that earlier, and you was like, spinning the block sometimes could be a good thing, because, you know, it could have been you who fumbled or dropped the ball or messed up in the relationship, and spinning the block, you know, get that old thing back. You changed, you know, you've done what you needed to, you put the work in, and, you know, boom. So I always see people when they talk about spinning the block, that it's a negative thing. Like, don't do it, you know. Yep. Back in the day, or it's still, you know, there's still that saying that, you know, if you let it out of its cage and it comes back, it was meant to be. If it doesn't, then boom. I've spent the block a few times on a couple people, and as you see now, I'm still single. So I'm not, and it wasn't anything like negative, but sometimes it's just, okay, well, I'm reminded of like why it didn't work out, you know, whether it was something on my part, whether it was something on theirs, or whether it was both ours. So what is your take on that spinning the block?
I think that after you've done some very deep self-reflection on what you contributed to the downfall of the dating situationship relationship, mm-hmm. And have gone on your healing journey for that as well, to either refine those things or understand that, well, not or, I meant, and understand that those things do not define you, because you can adjust, you know, you learn and all that stuff. You give yourself grace. And depending on if the individual themselves too have done that same exact work, because it's going to look different for everybody, but still, it's self-reflection. It's you being honest with yourself. It's you versus you, mm-hmm. not you versus anybody else. You versus you, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, you know, after they've done that work. So that's when I would say that I think there's nothing wrong with spinning the block. That's when I feel comfortable saying that. If you're spinning the block because you're bored, mm-hmm. if you're missing you're spinning the block because you, they had the best dick, they had the best box, then no, you know,
that's been me, that's sometimes I'm not even gonna lie, them flashbacks hit sometimes, and you know, you're tired of the coconut oil and you're just like, dang, mm-hmm. you know, I've had to have some real conversations with myself, like, nope, don't hit them up. Nope, it was great when it was, don't do it, leave it alone.
That's it. Guilty. You know, but if again, to that it in itself comes with intentionality too, because if you're spinning the block for that specific reason, again, they might be on the same time as you, you know. But if you know that the purpose of you spinning the block is to potentially see if there is a chance that you guys can make it, mm-hmm. you know, can work through what did not work the first time, you know, or even the second time, you know, then that's where I'm just like, yeah, I think that's the green light right there. I think people put too much stock on the fact of, oh, you tried it once, it didn't work out, why go back? Because people grow, because people change, because mm-hmm. people work on themselves to be a better person, because people may come back and actually apologize to you for the hurt that they caused you in your life, you know, and you can feel and see the change that they made, mm-hmm. you know. People think that's very attractive, you know. Oh, she really took the time, or he really took the time to work on himself and things like that. He's a very different person now. Why shouldn't I give him a chance? Mm-hmm. I'm single now. He's single now. Let's give it a shot, you know. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Being dating, being in a relationship, being married, it's all a risk.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes.
All of it is a risk. There's no guarantee that it's going to work out. None. I wish I can say that there was. What is guaranteed, though, is the work that you put in to bring the best you out there, and in hopes that that will be reciprocated. Now, if that's reciprocated, I believe that that is one of the best foundations. Of course, being, you know, being friends and building from there. But all of that combined is the best foundation to actually continue to cultivate and grow and maintain the relationship that you want. To that leads to potential marriage, if that's what your goal is. So that's my take on it. Don't shun anybody that spins the block, because you may shun them now, but then 5 years later, they're probably married and in one of the best relationships that you've seen, that you've heard. When you talk to them, all they're talking about is how happy they are and all those things, and they're not lying about it. Mm-hmm. You see it. You know, what do people say? Oh, you're glowing. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
That's a huge possibility. Don't listen to what other people be saying about spinning the block. You use your own discernment. If you believe that there is somebody out there that you was just like, damn, I thought that they were it, you know, but I need to work on myself too, da, 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 da. And they respect the work that you put in for yourself, and you see the work that they put in, and you respect their work that they put in, take a chance.
I love that answer. I love it, because like you said, everything is a risk. Everything is a risk. You never know. Every second we're changing thoughts. You never know. Feelings, emotions. So everything's a risk. And I like that you especially elaborated that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's truth. All about, hey, if you put that work in and you feel comfortable doing it, go do it, you know. So I love that. And I appreciate you explaining that. So kind of going along those lines, because, you know, spinning a block, there means that something, you know, ended, you know.
Yes.
So do you believe in the right person, wrong time?
I, you know what? I'm going to put myself out there and say I might be biased. Mm. I'm pretty sure I'm biased. But I'm going to say, yeah, honestly, Not even just thinking about me and my situation, but for other situations that I've heard as well.
Yeah.
You know, you may have met somebody. Yeah, you thought that they might be the person that you truly want to be with, but they're not as mature as they should be yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't gone through certain things in life that will shape them to be the individual that they will be for the rest of their lives, with adjustments, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I completely going to put myself out there. I met my wife when I was like 15, 16. Now, we were friends, you know, we built that friendship and all that stuff. But when it came down to actually making a decision of if I wanted to ask her out and all those things or whatever, I took too long. And those are the words that she used. I took. So she decided to date this other guy. And I was mad, I was pissed, but I was mad and I was pissed at myself because I took too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to, you know, I was trying to be respectful and all these things and not rush it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I can still be intentional about what I want without rushing it. And mm-hmm. I did not know that back then, you know. And plus, this dude, he was like the it dude back then too. It was crumping, dancing, all that stuff, very popular, all that
I
good
love
stuff.
How back in the day, because like right now, if you started crumping, like I said, like you said, this is like, you know, what age was still this, like the 15 year age range was this, like, so
yep.
I teach roughly around like that 13, 14, some 15 year old, you know, age range. And sometimes, because, you know, we live in a TikTok society, and my kids will be doing dances on TikToks in the classroom and whatnot. And if I see it and I'm walking by, I'll jump in the video and I'll start like doing something random with an old dance, or I will start crumping or something like that. Now, granted, I cannot crump, but it's just the fact that, one, you shouldn't be video recording in my class without my permission. But I'm going to get in there, and it's a good relationship building thing with the kids, low key. But like, they'll look at me and be like, yo, you are, what is this? Oh my God, please stop. And so it's just like, wow, that's crazy. From back then, we're like, yo, that hot thing, the go-to guy was the one who could crump. Like, oh, the ladies loved him. And now they're looking at you like, yo, what are you doing? Yep. That's crazy.
But yeah, he was the it guy and all that good stuff. But now, if you were to talk to my wife about it, she wouldn't say that she would change the past or anything like that, because it shaped her into the woman that she is today. She felt as if we were together back then, she does not think that we'd be where we are today. She needed to go through that whole experience to realize, I don't need to go after the guy that's all out there and everybody wants him and all that stuff or whatever. Like, I should really be focusing on the guy that can work with me, that can actually, that wants to take care of me more than take care of his image in society, you know, who is legit wanting to sit down with me and say, hey, I don't think that this is working. We should try to do this. How does that sound? As opposed to somebody that's just like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And call it a day. You got no option. They don't care about your perception, perspective, anything, you know. So she had to go through all of that and learn. And I needed to learn how to be more direct. I needed to learn to be more intentional. I needed to learn to be more empathetic. I needed to learn how to legit be okay with shooting my shot and missing the damn shot, because we will not make these shots. We're not going to make them 100% of the time. But at the same time, too, you do technically, quote unquote, miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
One of my favorite, I love The Office. And, you know, that's yes. One, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. There we go.
But yeah, man, there is right person, wrong time.
There is such thing. You do feel like that. I appreciate that, because everybody, you know, has their own opinions with it. I'm kind of like you, you know, I do, on one hand, I'm just like, yeah, you know, it definitely happens, because there are people who, again, spin the block later on and boom, there they are, thriving better than ever, because like you say, they had to put the work in, they had to grow, you know, they had to do what they needed to. So thank you for offering that perspective. I have a question for you, but I'm going to wait because this is not going to be the last episode that you're on again, but I would love to do an episode with you and Queen as married couples. Yeah. So that's going to happen. So I'm going to save some of these questions going through my mind for them, because I would love her point of view, perspective, and thoughts as well. But now I kind of want to shift, still kind of sticking with the love, relationship, dating topic. By the time this episode's drop, some of you may listen to it afterwards, but as long as there is a regular calendar and this stays on it, Valentine's Day is coming up. All right.
Yes.
February 14th. We know that this is a time where people use it to celebrate their loved one, you know, or ones if you're poly or however your lifestyle is. You know, this is something where they show their appreciation and their love for their partner or partners. How do you feel about Valentine's Day?
I love Valentine's Day. I love Valentine's Day just the same as I love all these other holidays that we celebrate. I do feel that it is highly commercialized. I absolutely do feel this way. But so is Mother's Day. So is July 4th. So is Father's Day and all these different things. Just because I've run into so many, I'm saying this because I've run into so many people that continuously say, oh, it's so commercialized, I don't need to do all these things. But you do all of these things for other holidays, though. So make it make sense. You know, even though we can, most of us will agree that Valentine's Day is commercialized, that doesn't mean that you need to fall into the commercialism at all. You make Valentine's Day what you want to make it, mm-hmm. with your person or persons, whatever it is. If you want to take them somewhere and celebrate, that is on y'all. That is a decision that y'all make together. If you're an individual in a relationship and you're just like, I don't want to celebrate it, it's commercialized, mm-hmm. You know, that thought process, and that's what you're going to run with without consulting the person or persons that you're with, mm-hmm. that is a grand mistake to make.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, because there are some people who won't celebrate Valentine's Day because they feel it is, you know, over commercialized. You know, they feel as though you should be able to just celebrate your person and show them that you love them either on a daily basis. But, you know, there's not a holiday that needs to tell me that, you know, that I need to do that. Same thing kind of with Christmas and other holidays as well. But like you said, like, you know, letting your partner know is very important. But I'm with you. I enjoy Valentine's Day because, you know, it's a feeling in the atmosphere because of the over commercialized. Yes. But like, you know, it's nice to see all the hearts up and the things like love is, I love love. I'm a sucker for love. Wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I love the idea of it. I love being in it, all of those things. But the over commercialized, so I don't fault people who don't celebrate it or choose not to, because again, they make it about making money. You know, making it that you have to do this or you have to do that. If you don't buy your partner a ring, or if you don't get them this or get them that, then do you really love them? So come on down and buy this and give it to them. We're like,
good at
really good. That is a reason why it's still going on.
Yep.
But for yourself, do you have a favorite Valentine's Day memory?
I do, man. I do. My wife took me on a scavenger hunt.
Word.
She took me on a scavenger hunt. So it was this one plaza.
Hold on, time out. I'm going to stop you right there. Your wife took you on a scavenger hunt for Valentine's Day. She planned this for you. I wanted to highlight that, because I want to get into the gifts and things for each other, but it's not always necessarily the man having to do something, or the male figure having the more dominant one having to do something for the other person, their wife, their girlfriend, whoever. It should be something they both do.
Both.
Or even,
you got it.
Even the fact if one just decides, hey, I want to take the lead and do this for you. I love the fact that she did that, where she was just like, no, I'm taking you on a scavenger. I know you did something for her. Like, I just know you. Mm-hmm. And I know you did something for her. But the fact that she's just like, yo, nah, I'm not just going to get him the bare minimum, a pair of drawers, and just be like, here you go, baby, mm-hmm. love you. Although, as we get older, I love fresh drawers and fresh socks. Like,
absolutely.
Take them all day, every day. You know, back in the day as a kid, hey, to get them as a gift. As an adult, bring them on. But I love that she did that for you. So go ahead back, man. So the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, man. She took me on a scavenger hunt. There was this plaza that we usually always go to anyway. And the scavenger hunt started in one of the hotels that we love going to. And she just sent me all around the plaza. Hmm. And the dopest thing about it was everywhere that I went, the individuals that I was told to speak to in the notes that she left for me were all excited to see how the scavenger hunt ended. Mm. I'm just like, why are y'all more excited than me? And they're just like, we've never seen anything like this. Nobody's really included us in their Valentine's Day plans. It's just they're here to eat, or they're here to just go watch a movie and all these things, but somebody really asked us to give this to you. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yo, this is dope. So after going around, you know, four or five different places, you know, picking up food and all this stuff or whatever, went right back to the hotel, and there she is. And she just wanted to show me just how much she loved me and how much she actually pays attention to the things that I love and all these things. Yeah. And she knows that every single day I do show her love and all these things. So she really wanted to choose this day to show me like, hey, I'm right there with you. I can do what you do as well. You know, let's outdo each other when it comes to loving each other. And I think that's the best challenge that people can have.
That's dope, man. That's dope. See, look, everybody, you need to pay attention to each other, ladies and gentlemen, not just one to the other, but each of you should be paying attention to the other. So that way you can know what your partner likes, dislikes, but be able to, it feels good to know that, you know, you're being paid attention to, you're being heard, you're being seen. And then when you implement that into something for me, you got me. Like, you got me. Oh man, I'm thinking about it, and I don't think I've ever been in a relationship around Valentine's Day. Maybe like once, twice, maybe once or twice. But I do remember, oh man, I was my freshman year of college. Like, I wasn't in a relationship, but there was a friend of mine. I just wanted to do something nice. I always want to do something nice for a woman, especially if I know them and I care about them. So I know I just got to like some balloons, some chocolates, a bear or something. So, you know, but just to show my appreciation. So it doesn't always have to be, you know, you being in a relationship per se. If you want to just show somebody some love and appreciation on Valentine's Day, then definitely do that. And that I wanted to go next to the gift givings for her and for him. You know, again, going back to the over commercialization of Valentine's Day, where they push the, you know, the commercials on you. As soon as Christmas is over, they're putting up as soon as New Year's is over, they're putting up Valentine's Day stuff. You know, January 2nd is Valentine's Day stuff in their stores. If you haven't, they haven't already put it up. But a lot of people, again, focus on, you know, and again, we are coming from two heterosexual male points of view. It's about the man getting something, or this extravagant gifts, doing these extravagant things for the women. But to you, like, what are some good gifts, you know, that you should give your partner, whether it's him or her? Because there was a conversation that's been on Twitter for a while now. It's just like, hey, you know, would you give your man this? And there's a bucket of like socks, body wash, and just like a couple other things. But then, you know, turn around and you would expect, oh, where's my diamond necklace at?
Yep. So it goes right back to what you had just said too. Listening and paying attention to your partner. You know, or listening and paying attention to the individual that you're trying to get this gift for. So, for example, I truly believe that the majority of men out there are very easy to shop for. That is my high belief. So, if you noticed
I'm gonna stop you right there. I think
go ahead.
Like, I get what you're saying. Like, yes, on one hand, I agree. But on another hand, I think that we are difficult sometimes to shop for, because I think that we sometimes don't know what it is that we want, or we're used to giving, providing, and things of that nature. Because I know myself, it took me a while to be able to receive gifts. Somebody's just like, hey, what can I get you? I want to get you something. What do I? And I'll just be like, you know, you don't got to give me anything. Like, don't. I would even tell people, don't give me your love. My siblings all the time, what can I get you for Christmas, your birthday? Give me your love and I'm good. You know, but even then, there are some people who don't even say that. They're just like, you know, they're not used to receiving gifts, or, you know, it's just something that they just never had before, or whatever it may be for each other. So I think that sometimes we can be hard to shop for, you know.
No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. I think that there's a certain segment of men that are definitely hard to shop for, and then there's a certain segment that are easy to shop for, and then there's in the middle, you know? For example, like, you might be with a gentleman. I'm going to start with the gifts for men first. You notice that they have this favorite cologne that they have. Nice and easy. Favorite cologne that they have. You see it on their dresser drawer, or, you know, you always smell it. You get the name of it. You know what it is. Get that as a present. Nice and simple. They're probably going to be like, yo, I never even talked to you about this. How'd you know? You don't got to let them know. Don't share them secrets. In your head, just be like, oh, I just paid attention to you. You know, but something as small as that would make him really appreciate the gift. Appreciate you for giving him that gift. So something that small, you know. There's a lot of guys out there that are into sports. You can get them their favorite team, get them a hat, you know, get them a hoodie, get them a jacket, you know, with the team insignia on it, you know, mm-hmm. something of that nature. For individuals who have the money, you know, you can get him a chain, you know, a real one.
Yeah.
That's not costing, you know, astronomical dollars, you know, within your budget. Mm-hmm. You know, most men will appreciate that, especially if it fits their style, you know. A lot of people are into the fisherman hats right now. So, you know, if you know that your guy look great, or your girl look great in them fisherman hats, mm-hmm. get that as well. There's so many different things that you can get that aren't being pushed in commercials. You know, all these roses and the chocolates and the bears and all that stuff. Bank,
like, necessarily. You don't have if you have it and you want to, sure. But you don't have to break the bank to show somebody you love them.
Mm-mm, not at all. Like, you can do something for the both of you guys. It doesn't have to be just focused on them. Like, y'all have a favorite place to go to eat. Maybe you guys haven't been there for a while. Boom. Mm-hmm. You go. You know, you guys haven't had like a couple's massage before. Boom. Do that. There's so many massage places that are coming up around my area, maybe around yours too, mm-hmm. like where you can spend 2 hours in there. You get a massage the first hour, and then the second one, it's like a mud bath kind of thing. You're exfoliating your skin, and you get to exfoliate your partner gets to exfoliate you and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and then you guys shower afterwards. It's dope. I would love to do that for Valentine's Day, by the way. So, wife, if you're listening. You know.
But I'm going to try to slide it in on our live tonight. I got you. I got you.
But yeah, I've had people that get so anxious when it comes around Valentine's Day and things of that nature. And I will challenge you to see where that anxiety comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, see if it's from the pressure of the commercialization. See if it's from the pressure of, oh, well, her last boyfriend or his, you know, last girlfriend got him this, so I gotta try to match up with that.
Yeah.
No. And if you are made to feel that way, and I specifically mean made to feel that way, not off of your own volition, but they made you feel that way, that's not the person that you should be with. That's not the person you should be celebrating Valentine's Day with at all. This individual should appreciate whatever it is that you do, especially if you paid attention and you were very intentional with what you wanted to do or what you wanted to give.
Mm. I love that. I love that. Great answers. Because, like, there is... literally, well, I'm not gonna say there isn't a right answer, but it's like a wrong answer. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are, if you know, there's some things that your partner wouldn't like, then don't be an asshole.
Absolutely.
But just like from the smallest thing, like you going back to where you talk about paying attention to your partner, if you even know that they don't really care for physical things, like a simple card where you're just expressing to them how you feel about them or how much you love them and appreciate them, like that can just be enough, you know. Some flowers could be enough, because I prefer plants because plants last longer. And men, we gotta be more open to receiving plants. I love receiving plants or having plants. But
you need to say that again. Hey, oh, listen, my god, I just came from another show, mm-hmm. and they were just like, I don't want a plant. Why would I want a plant?
Give me a plant.
That's so feminine. No,
give me plants.
No,
give me to, and they're good for you. They are great for you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it doesn't always have to be physical. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It should be thoughtful, definitely thoughtful. That's what it is, a gift that is thoughtful for your partner on Valentine's Day. So sometimes, I mean, again, life be life, and sometimes you just ain't got it like that, you know. So thoughtfulness goes a long way, especially in a relationship. The fact that you
let me throw in one more if I can, like, for example, too, you know, you're for the fellas now, legit for the fellas, getting a gift for the ladies. Let's say your lady's scarf or their bonnet just broke, or it got a rip in it, got a tear, mm-hmm. you know, like that's something else that you're not breaking the bank. And it's something that you notice that they probably thought that, no, he would never notice this. You know, you get them that, and they're just like, yo, you are paying attention.
Really?
To you, you're just like, oh, it's messed up. Let me just get it. Mm-hmm. To her, it's just like, you're paying attention. I love this. Da-da-da-da. Like, you know, something as small as that. Eucalyptus candles is one of the biggest things that I think that people should start getting now, because it relieves stress. Mm-hmm. You know, so just again, back to what Mr. L's been telling
everybody. Candles still?
She doesn't make them anymore. She's more into the wedding planning now, which I'm just like, I don't blame you. do your thing. But yeah, man, it does not, we don't have to break the bank, like Mr. L said.
Appreciate that. You throwing those things out there, Val. Like, it's Valentine's Day is like, it's express however you love your partner, and yes, be thoughtful. Now, if you don't have a partner, Val, what are some things that you could say? Because there are some people who may, you know, hate Valentine's Day, or they may get a little depressed around it, because seasonal depression is a thing. You know, holiday depressions are a thing. So if you don't have a partner, like, they're either you're single, maybe you've lost a loved one, or whatever it may be, like, what are some things that, you know, you can do for Valentine's Day? Like, I know there's a song, like, what do the lonely do for Christmas, or at Christmas, what do the lonely do during Valentine's Day?
So with what I'm going to say, I want to preference it all with, if you are comfortable. If you are comfortable. I'm very big on treating myself, whether I'm single or, you know, married and all that stuff. If you are single and, you know, quote unquote lonely for Valentine's Day, you go and you treat yourself. You go get your nails done. You go get your nails done. You go get a haircut. You know, you go get your nails done. Because, I mean, that's not just a girl thing. Like, guys, you should be getting your nails done. You need clean nails.
Cleanliness.
You know, you're trying to be with a girl. You're trying to finger her and all that stuff. You want that nasty shit inside of her? Then she get a yeast infection and all that stuff. Come on. You don't want all that.
I like to make sure my throat grabber is on point. So, you know.
There you go. There you go. So, big time treating yourself. A lot of people feel uncomfortable, hence my preference, going out to eat by themselves. So to the ones that are comfortable, treat yourself. Go out and grab something to eat. Mm-hmm. Because if you are out there, yes, granted, you will most likely be met with those couples out there that may continue to make you feel lonely. There are, and there have been a lot of instances that I've been told, is there is a possibility that there is somebody else that had the same idea as you that comes and would like to sit with you while you are eating. So that's a big possibility. So don't knock that out.
The massages, like you were talking about earlier, go get that massage by yourself.
Go get that massage by yourself.
Treat yourself to some flowers, some plants.
Legit.
Love on you.
Go to the sauna, you know. Go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Go to the gym. You know, work on you, just like Mr. L said. Volunteer if you don't feel... if that does not make you uncomfortable, you know, there's a lot of different events that are going around this time that do need people to help them out. And if you don't feel weird, that's an opportunity for you as well. You may find somebody there while you're volunteering as well. You never know.
Thank you for bringing that up, because just like your speed dating event, like, there, people have recognized that, like, through the years. I love how certain parts of human life evolve, and like our thought process and the things we come up with, you know, because, like, now recognizing that, yo, there usually are a decent amount of lonely people out there. Valentine's Day, hey, you don't got to be alone. We know that you are. Hey, so is a few other people, a group of people. Come on, we got this going on. Come and have fun with us. It'll be nothing but singles out there. You can mix, mingle, have fun, enjoy yourself, whatever it may be. So definitely look for those events.
Yes. Get out the house. Don't spend time, and again, unless you're comfortable, don't spend time in the house by yourself. You know, I don't think you should do, unless you have a whole bunch of things that you can do that will take your mind off of it, that may fall underneath self-care, you know, then okay, completely understood. But if you can, Galentine's, for example, I know that's a big
that
thing.
Is.
You know, single events, things of that nature, organizing something with your friends. There's a whole bunch of things that you can do. Don't just sit in the fact of, oh, it's Valentine's Day, I don't have a Valentine, so I'm just gonna stay home. No, there's so many things that you can do for yourself to make yourself feel good.
It's all about love, all right? Love on yourself. If you're not able to love on somebody, have somebody love on you. However, Val, I will have to disagree with you on one thing, being at home on Valentine's Day and being in the house, because if I don't do anything on Tuesday, I might light a couple candles, dim the lights. I might cook me a nice little meal, you know, warm me up the finest of coconut oils, and find me something to watch and enjoy myself. Like, you know, you could, you You can have sex with yourself on Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen. Do that. You don't got to have a partner. Enjoy yourself. Love on you. And so with that, I want to transition into self-care. Boom. Masturbation is self-care, y'all. Masturbation is self-care. I'll get into that later. But I want to transition over into just kind of some kinky ideas and things of that nature that that you can do for Valentine's Day. And like some things that came to mind for me was like, one, foreplay, you know, spice it up a little bit, do something different, foreplay or role play, you know, dress up, pretend that you are different people than who you normally are, you know, role play those things. If you're not sure who you want to be, look it up, up role play ideas. There are plenty out there, I promise you. And there might be something for you. So I would definitely role play. Imagine that you are different people, because this is a bonding moment between you and your partner, you know. This is a bonding moment. You guys get to do this, although you're portraying, you know, who you're not or different roles, you're still together and you're doing this, and you don't know where that could lead to.
True.
I put lingerie as well, whatever you're wearing, ladies. Nice set of fellas, buy her some lingerie. As I've said in previous episodes, always know that there's lingerie that you gently remove, and there's lingerie that you rip that the fuck off. All right, so know which one. But ladies, get you some lingerie. Fellas, buy her some lingerie, and the same thing, vice versa. Nice silk boxers, Savage Fenty. Although, you know, I'm not getting sponsored by them on the podcast, I'm just plugging them in there. But Savage Fenty, like, they got some pretty good smokers jackets and silk things for men. So you could definitely do that. Val, if you got some ideas, man, what you think the people should do to spice up the bedroom on Valentine's Day?
I think they should use wax and give each other massages. You know, as opposed to having somebody else give them massage, you give each other massages.
That is great.
You know where, most likely, where it's going to lead to.
I mean, usually, you know, when you just say, oh, you want me to give you a massage, you know, or something, you know? You already know what the end goal is. If you already doing it, go ahead, do it again. It's all right. You
know, spend a little bit extra time, you know, and then let it lead to where it leads to. What else? So you had said do something different, you know, and both of you may not be as comfortable, you know, trying something different or whatever, but why don't both of you guys talk about it? You know, have that conversation prior, like, yeah, let's try something new. What should we try? And then what Mr. L said, research
it,
do the research, see what it is, you know. And again, it's between y'all. So if you wanted to start off at, you know, cop robbers, you know, something like that, you know, whatever it is, like, y'all do that for you guys and y'all go through it to the fullest.
That's it right there. I had to tell you a funny story that somebody told me. I'll tell you off air about their experience with role play and whatnot. But yeah, like you said, trying something new, it would be a good time to experiment, because again, bonding moment, doing things together, it continues to help you build your relationship, you know, coming together as one, learning about each other, experiencing things together. And so, like, there's something that you could do, whether I would say do it beforehand, but get you like some popsicle sticks. All right. Research some kinks or some different things that you can do, or fuck it, I got plenty of episodes, you can go back and listen to them, especially the ones where we go through A through, I haven't all the way to Z yet, but go listen to those and see what type of kinks and things are out there that you can enjoy. But write those down on a popsicle stick, put them in a jar, and this is something that you can do not just on Valentine's Day but any day. Put them in a jar and then pick one out, something that you both would try to like to do, research it. All right, cool. Let's go for it. All right. We do that with everything else. Hey man, go for it. Please do it. I need y'all to do that. And then I want to talk about that when I have y'all on as a couple. All right.
We go.
So yeah, do that. Research the things that y'all would like to do. Y'all can either do the research, then put the popsicle sticks into whatever container you use. And then when you pull it out, you know, all right, cool. Well, we say we're going to try anal tonight. Or, all right, let's go get some rope because we just pulled this out. So yeah, do that. Try something new. Be adventurous. Be experimentalist. Enjoy that. Like Val said, do the massage. There are kinky games or sex games that you can't buy where there's like dice or card games or whatever it may be. I would say go for that because those type of things bring up things that sometimes you never thought about. And you'll never know what it leads to until you actually try it. Travel and be adventurous. Val talked about going on a cruise and he enjoyed having sex on the cruise, you know. And so, you know, a lot of people sometimes do plan trips. I know that Valentine's Day falls during the weekday sometimes, but even, you know, if it does, some people still take that day off or something. If you want to drive somewhere, one, if you're going to do it out in public, make sure there are no children around and no people, because you don't want them charges. But be adventurous and go travel and have sex somewhere else. You know, you don't have to be confined inside the four walls of your home. Whether it's in the car, like one of my boys, and if he ever listens to this, you know, he might say something about it. If his wife listens to it, she might say something about it. But there's a specific restaurant that they would always go to and they would eat at. And it was just like every time they went and ate there, as soon as they got to the car, they fucking.
Hey.
You know, so if that's like a special thing for you, you know, go do that.
Yes.
And definitely, I can't even believe I haven't said this, toys. All right. Buy yourself some new toys or buy them some new toys. Buy some toys that you can use together or that you can use on yourself or they can use on you. Like, it's a great time to experiment because of the bond, whether it's good or bad, you know, hopefully nothing extremely bad, but whether it's good or bad, you can say that you did it together. It may be something that you can sit and laugh on later, or it may be something that you can sit and be like, yo, baby, I really enjoy doing that. We should incorporate that. I loved seeing how you looked. I loved the way your body reacted. I never would have thought that I would have seen that. You know, I didn't even think to do this, but it felt amazing. You never know where it may lead to. So I'd say just be experimentalist, be open, be free with each other, especially in the bedroom, and see where it leads you. All right. At best, y'all are going to do some bonding. And then we'll see where it goes.
I liked it. And that's going to be something else you could add to your sex. Or, you know, that you didn't like it and it gives you an opportunity to pull another popsicle out.
There we go.
And see what else you can do.
There
try.
We go. Or for some people, bringing in another person might be something. Hey, who knows?
True.
It's whatever fits for you guys, you know, whatever works for y'all, then do that. But Val, I think we are reaching the time that we have for the night. Is there anything else that you would like to say to the people? Please definitely plug yourself where they can follow you, where they can go and check out all the great content that you have, the things that you have coming up, you know, just however you choose to give it to the people, give it to them.
Got you. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you, Mr. L, for bringing me on to your show. Really do appreciate that because you didn't have to, and I'm definitely appreciative and grateful for Mr. L's audience. Again, if we do not know each other, if we have not spoken, I am Val, dating and relationship advisor, coach, whichever word you want to use. What I aim to do is to help you guys cultivate the healthy dating and relationship lives that you all deserve. I do this through coaching, so whether it's solo sessions, couples, understanding your dating scene, whatever it is, I will be able to assist you. The only thing that I ask is that you come ready to do the work. If you're in the Boston area, this Friday the 9th at 8 p.m., we do have a speed dating event coming up. It's called Cuff It, Part 2. Part 1 was lit. You can see all the videos on my page. If you are interested, again, depending on when this comes out, you still may have a chance. If this comes out afterwards, you will have a chance to come to the next one because there's going to be a part 3. So continue to be intentional, continue self-reflection, continue working on yourself, and the opportunities will come. I want you to be ready for those opportunities when they come up. Every Thursday, me and my wife, Tiara, we do a Instagram Live, Relationship Tea with Val and T, every Thursday, 7:30, where we have fun with each other. You know, there's a whole bunch of laughs. We play games and we do Q&As as well, letting you guys, you know, peeking behind the curtain a little bit, learning more about us, seeing how we actually are, which will in turn help you, you know, see how I am and if I would fit to be your coach, because I don't fit everybody. We know this. Everybody is different, you know. Or you might be able to see, oh, wow, he actually fits what I'm looking for. Let me give him a call and all that stuff, and we can set that up. My wife is a wedding planner. So if anybody's getting married and they need some help, now this could be worldwide, because, again, she can do a whole lot from where she's at. So you can give her a call, and I promise you, not because she's my wife, I've seen the things that she's done, and they're all on her page, A Day of Royalty. Check her out. She will set you right. That's all I got.
All right, Val. Well, I do appreciate you being on here. This was definitely needed, and I think the people will enjoy it. Future wife, baby girl, if you're listening to this, just know Val is going to be our relationship counselor, hey, our marriage counselor as well. And it's not because, you know, he's my boy. That's actually part of it. But the reason that part of it is because I know that he's not going to let me cut any type of corners. Not saying that I am, but he may be harder on me and making sure I'm on my shit than you, because he knows me. But also, I trust his word and the things that he says. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever said it, but you have, like, people say I have the voice for like podcasting and stuff like that. You have that voice to give advice in relationship. Like, it's definitely your purpose. So continue to do your thing, brother. Continue to help the people out. You're doing great work, man. I appreciate you being a guest on here. It will not be the last time. As long as I keep podcasting, you're always going to be on here. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all have enjoyed this episode. If you do have any questions for Val, please go hit him up. I will include everything in the description. If you have any questions for him, also, you can hit me up and I'll relay those, or we'll combine them and talk about them on an episode in the future. All right. But again, as always, y'all, thank you for listening. You didn't have to be here, but you are. And I appreciate that. Those who have consistently listened to me over the years, especially during the hiatus, I appreciate you. I love you. Those who are new here, I appreciate you. I love you. Tell somebody to tell a friend, or tell somebody and tell them to tell a friend to come and check us out and listen to us take part in our Instagram lives, where it's great with the three guys and a girl. And most importantly, again, be gentle with yourselves. Take care of yourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, however you need to take care of you and the people that are around you. All right. As always, I am the compassionate Dom, the sensual sadist, the southern gent with a sprinkle of filth, Mr. L. Until next time.